But last week we ended with us learning that revelation was given by God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus. And then to the Apostle John, who was to write it, write what he saw and heard, and send it to seven literal churches, Christian churches in different cities, in what is now modern day Turkey. All right. And so in verse 4, we read last week, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. And to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. And to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay. Now, again, still speaking of Jesus there in verse 6. And then in verse 7, we pick it up this morning. Still speaking of Jesus, John writes, behold, he is coming with the clouds, with the clouds. Important to note there. And every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. So, I mean, wow. The subject abruptly changes to the day when the Lord, Jesus, will return, and that every eye will see him, whether living or dead. That's what it's saying here. That's what John says. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, even those who crucified him. Okay? Now, I don't know, maybe it's my memory. That's a possibility. But for some reason, growing up, I remember hearing a lot about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, which is a good thing, right? It's a good thing to hear, since you're young, that Jesus did that for us. But I don't remember hearing so much, if at all, about the Lord returning. Or even hearing about the rapture. I really don't remember being taught that in catechism or whatever, anything like that. But we know from our study of the scriptures, the first time Jesus came to this earth, he came as the Messiah, the Savior. And he died on the cross to pay for the sins of mankind and to make the only way for us to receive eternal life. And then, we know, he rose from the dead and went back rightfully to glory and his throne in heaven. We know this, many of us, since we were young, taught this. But before he did go back to heaven, he promised that he would return again. Okay, so let's go to the left to the Gospel of John. And we're in the New King James translation, but it's very clear in any translation what Jesus said. John chapter 14. Verse 1. And Jesus says, let your heart not be troubled. Don't worry. You believe in God? Believe in me also. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. That's individually. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So, what a tremendous promise, huh? But it's actually not just a promise. It's easy to miss this, that when he says he'll return and receive us to himself, he's giving us a clue to a certain event that is going to take place. Right? And this is important to remember as we go forward. But before we get into that, let's look at another promise of Jesus' return. Let's go to the right from John into Acts chapter 1. And this is after the resurrection, and Jesus speaking to the disciples. And he told them about the Holy Spirit coming that would come upon them in the future. But in verse 9, it says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Imagine that. Take me. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand up? Why do you stand gazing up into heaven?'" What kind of question is that? That's not something you see every day. But that's not his point. He says, "Why do you gaze up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So we see Jesus' return is going to be physical. Physical. That's why we read in Revelation, right? You know? Every eye will see him. Now, with the promise of Jesus' return, keep in mind that the Bible shows us that there's really two phases to the return of the Lord. The first event is the appearance of Jesus in the clouds above this earth to catch the church out of this world in the rapture. And this is before the great tribulation and the wrath that he brings upon this wicked world. You know, we think things are bad today. The things that are going on in the world today, the evilness and wickedness, that's not from God. That's from the enemy. That's from Satan influencing the hearts of people and roaming this earth seeking who he may devour, the scriptures say. That's his doing. But when the Lord comes back, then he's going to judge this earth. And these things that come upon the men that are on the earth are going to be far worse than what is going on now. How could we can't even imagine that, right? But we'll talk about that more in a few minutes. But, you know, speaking of the rapture, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. That's after Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. And Paul writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. And in verse 13, Paul writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." He wants us to understand, he says, "concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." So he wants them to understand about the people who have passed away that were believers. He wants to let them know so they don't think that they missed it. He says, for if we believe in verse 14 that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep or have died in Jesus. Bring with him. What do you mean, bring with him? For this we say, verse 15, to you by the word of the Lord. It's not just John's writing, but this is the word of the Lord. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, if we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Get that? In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay? So when the Lord comes the first time, he's coming physically, but he's not coming to the earth. And this is what Jesus was referring to in John 14 that we just read, when he said he would come, remember? He would return to receive us, what? To himself. Now, some people say the word rapture is not in the Bible. It is not. But neither is the words Trinity, Christmas. And the word Bible isn't even in the Bible. But does that mean they aren't true? No, of course not. But as far as the rapture, notice in verse 17, the words caught up. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, the New Testament was translated from a Greek language. Right? And when they translated caught up, the word that they translated from the Greek was harpazo. And harpazo in Greek means to forcefully snatch away. Okay? Now, the Latin translation of that word is rapare or raptus, which is where we get our word rapture. Okay? So when we read caught up in our English, we're really reading rapture in Latin. Same thing. And so this being caught up or raptured is again Jesus coming for his saints. And those who are living at that time will not die, but be snatched away. And it's going to take place very quickly. It's not going to be a drawn out thing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Go to the left out of Thessalonians. 1 Corinthians 15. Chapter 15. And if you want to review this again, hopefully it'll be on the website this afternoon if there's no glitches. So anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. And Paul writes, Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So Paul's saying, we in our physical bodies cannot enter into heaven this way. This flesh is not getting into heaven because it's so sinful and wicked. It can't. It can't. But verse 51, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery or a hidden truth. We shall not all sleep, or we shall not all die, he says. But we shall all be what? Changed. Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Right? Now, Jesus, he had a physical body on this earth, but he was sinless, so he wasn't corrupted. But his body did transform. He changed after he was buried. Transformed. He had a resurrected body. He had a body, but it was different. Remember? He told Thomas, put your hands in my hands, feel. Put your hand in my side. It was him, but he had a resurrected body. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Corinthians. That moment when the Lord returns and the dead in Christ raise. Now, how all that's going to happen, I know people have a lot of questions about that. I'm just worried about being raised up if he comes. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about if somebody was cremated, how they're going to... I don't know. That's between them and God. He'll work it out, right? All of his creation, right? I mean, you look out into the heavens, they... seeing all these things there, discovering that he's created. They don't think so, but he has created these incredible things. Surely he can gather somebody up from dust like he did with Adam, right? And make a body. So there's your answer. If that's an answer, I don't know. If you have that question. But in a twinkling of an eye, it's going to happen. Now, back in Revelation, chapter 1, notice in verse 18 that Paul tells us to what? Comfort. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I was talking about the previous verse. But he tells us to comfort one another, right? With the promise. But the thing is, again, God has revelation to reveal things to us, let us know certain things are going to happen. And God gives us the Bible in so many ways, the promises of Him, to comfort us as we live in this rotten, stinking world, dealing with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're to comfort one another, encourage one another. I certainly need encouragement. And all the things we face outside these doors, temptations, all kinds of things, thoughts you don't want to have, speech you don't want to have, all kinds of things we're dealing with. And so God gives us His Word and these promises, like the rapture. I'm hoping it's right now. Really. But either way, right? If we remain alive till he comes, it's all good. If we die and he comes back, I'll be raised first before those who are raptured, right? The dead in Christ will rise first. So it's all good. And so we're to comfort one another with these. And that's why we go through these scriptures. But when John in Revelation talks about the Lord coming in verse 7. We don't read of any heads up as far as this is concerned. Not exactly. You know, there may be certain signs out there. But this is why Jesus gave us a warning. A warning? A warning about what? A warning to be ready for the rapture. because it can come at any moment. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we're going to go through some scriptures here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. And Paul writes, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you know, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them and labor pains and upon a pregnant woman, as they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober or self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to what? Wrath. He did not appoint us to wrath. We were appointed to wrath before we knew him." Right? We're on our way to hell. I don't care how good you think you were, are, whatever. We were all in the same boat, going down. That was our appointment, wrath. Until we realized that the Lord Jesus paid for our sins. And the slate was wiped clean so that we don't have to be going down, that we're going up because of him, not us. So then he says here, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." And there we go. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify or build up one another, just as you are also doing." Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. And Jesus' own words say, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. "But take heed to yourselves." Watch yourselves. Be aware, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare or a trap on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to what? To escape all these things that will come to pass. And to stand before the Son of Man. What things? Jesus wants us to escape what? God's wrath that is coming upon this earth. That's why he wants to take us out of here, those who are living. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3. Jesus' own words again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Again, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. What do we have to hold on to? The promise of salvation through the Lord Jesus. An enemy wants to take that away and make us doubt. Hold fast, hold on tight to what you have. Scripture says we have citizenship in heaven. We are seated in heavenly places, Paul writes. What's that mean? We have reserved seating. How can we have reserved seating? Because Jesus said, right, if I go, I prepare a place for you. That's why we have seating. We have a place already reserved for us. Hold on to that promise, he says. Don't let nobody take it away. So we see, as far as the rapture is concerned, Jesus left it as something that could happen at any time. Why? Why? He knows us, that's why. He knows it's human nature, and there'll be people, if there's a certain date coming, party like it's what? Till it's 1999. I'm not going back into that stuff, but you know what I mean? It's human nature. But if we really believe that he could come at any time, what's going to happen? He wants us to live in eager expectation because it'll help us to live the way he desires us to. And help us to be ready. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. That's after 2 Timothy, before Philemon. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. And Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." It's Jesus teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. But not only that, looking for what? The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord, of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're not to be looking for signs. We're to be looking for the Lord Jesus, eagerly anticipating his arrival and being faithful to him the best that we can. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Now, if you remember in the previous scripture, when it said the Lord is coming in the clouds, we're going to meet him in the clouds in the air, right? In the rapture. But verse 7, it says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Now, that's not the rapture. because the Lord is not coming in judgment at that time. He's coming to take Christians out. So this is referring to the second event of the Lord's return, the appearance of Jesus with his saints immediately after the tribulation. And he comes to defeat his enemies, judge the nations, and restore Israel, bind Satan, and reign as king. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. And Jesus writes, immediately after the tribulation, of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Okay, so there's a difference. But again, back in Revelation, again, we talked about that everyone will see the Lord, he says. And maybe this is true because of the technology that we have today. Or maybe he does it without it. Because John says, even those who pierced and crucified Jesus will see him. And again, this is because Jesus will bear the wounds of his resurrected body. And so with all these scriptures that we just covered, we know Jesus did not return in 1914 as the Jehovah Witnesses claim. Right? Because if he did, if somebody says he did, somebody claims that he has come back already, ask them, where are the people all over the world who would have seen him, as the scriptures say? Where are they? Now, amazingly, a number of Old Testament prophets wrote of this day. Let's turn to Daniel. We'll try to go through them real quick. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. Let's go to the right till we get to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spreading over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. And you could read down more, but let's go to verse 10. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, before for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? That's not the rapture. That's the Lord coming upon this earth in judgment. Now let's keep going to the right till we get to Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day, the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness, gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Ooh. You want to be here for that? I don't. It's bad enough now. But back in Revelation chapter 1, and we'll close for today. And he says, all will see him, all, even those who pierced, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. You know, there's hundreds of millions of people on this earth who know of Jesus, but don't believe. Refuse to believe. They don't even see the need for him to be their Savior. And some of us may have been there at one point in our lives. Thank God for the day, right, that he opened our eyes and our hearts to his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Because as we read, there will be a horrible final judgment. And that's just upon the earth. That's not even saying what hell is all about. You know, and I don't know why. I've been wanting to do Revelation for a while, but it's just always, you know, I'm not being a prophet or anything, but, you know, for the times we live in, it seems like it's closer and closer. We know it is because of the time that's expired since John wrote this and the other scriptures, 2,000 years. So we're 2,000 years closer than they were. Do we really want to test the waters? No. Play Russian roulette with the Lord? Gamble our souls with the Lord? Certainly not. Certainly not. So, we're in the right place though, right? Where would we rather be? Don't answer that, but no. It says it's good to be in the house of the Lord, right? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't want to go home. I wanted to stay in church, hear more of God's word and worship. You know, sometimes it's hard to keep that zeal and that love that you had. You know, talking about going back to our first love, right? He's going to be talking about it in Revelation later on when things get serious and God is speaking to individual churches. which is so applicable for today, right? Just having that first love again, you know, that we had. If that's the case. And so we thank God. Like I said, I thank God for this place, for this church letting us meet here and worship and learn God's word together. I'm still learning. I still get frustrated, dejected at times, different things in life, like anybody else. And so a lot of times, well, most of the times I'm up here, I'm preaching to myself also. Really, that's the reality. Any pastor tell you no, then he's, you know. But anyway, God is good, huh? We got a lot to go through Revelation yet. We've gone through so much already just in seven verses. But it's all good, right? It's all good.